Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Every Monday afternoon, we give you the opportunity, I should say, to get all of your medical questions and queries answered by our GP. And today I'm joined by Louise Fitzgerald, who is a doctor at Grafton Medical. Louise, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
087 1400 106. That's the WhatsApp number if you have a question for Louise this afternoon. And this texter, Louise, says that she's 71 years of age, has been diagnosed with ER positive breast cancer. I will have to go on tamoxifen for 5 years after the treatment. The drug has a side effect of osteoporosis. I don't want to take it, but what are my options?
Is that the case? First of all, sorry to hear that that's been her diagnosis, because that's a really hard diagnosis. And she's a very well-informed listener, which is great to hear. And I love that when I hear that from patients. And she's very right. Unfortunately, tamoxifen, while a very important medication and very much a life-saving medication, can have quite severe side effects, including menopausal symptoms. And because of the effect that it has, it can cause osteoporosis. I think the first thing is having a chat with somebody about her own baseline bone density and bone health. So has she had a DEXA before? If she hasn't, I would definitely be doing a DEXA. I do DEXA.
This is the scan of your bone health, bones, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So a DEXA scan or a DEXA scan. So I think that's probably a starting point. And then kind of going from there to see, well, does she have normal bone density? And it's just the case that she needs to really keep an eye on her diet and her exercise. Or is she starting from a vulnerable baseline and need a bit more than that?
Okay, so is that really to get advice on that? Would she need to go back to her own GP?
Probably just her GP, yeah, rather than her oncology team, just through her GP, I think is probably the best thing to do.
Okay.
If she wanted to look at herself from a bone point of view, weight-bearing exercise is really important when it comes to the bones. Taking vitamin D throughout the winter months for sure, so 800 units per day throughout the winter months. And actually, you could probably just continue that during the summer months. And in terms of calcium, because this question comes up a lot and I've heard it been asked on your show before, not everyone needs to take calcium as a supplement. There's a really good calcium calculator. So if you just Google calcium calculator online, you can actually calculate how much calcium you get in your diet in a day. And it will kind of prompt you as to whether you need a supplement or not.
Okay.
So it's definitely things she can do herself. But I think going back to her GP just to make sure, has she had this bone scan, this DEXA scan before, but if not, definitely to get one as a baseline and then go from there.
087 1400 106 if you have a question for Dr. Louise Fitzgerald. This listener says, I'm 58 years of age, was recently diagnosed actually just 2 weeks ago with shingles. Got the rash on my right arm and shoulder blade, was feeling absolutely shattered prior to the rash appearing. I have a lot of stress in my life, two family members quite sick who I look after. My question is, how long does it take to recover from shingles and should I be doing anything to recover?
So again, very sorry to hear that diagnosis as well, because shingles can be particularly nasty. She's probably made a few references to things there that can trigger shingles. So shingles is a reactivation of the chickenpox virus. If you've had chickenpox as a kid, it can lie dormant, so asleep in your system, and then reactivate itself and present as shingles. So it's actually, you don't catch shingles as such. But it can present with a rash in different parts of the body. Usually it's on one side of the body because it crawls down the nerve root and that's how it presents itself. Shingles can have different types of presentation. So it can just be the rash. It can be a very minor rash. And for those people, they don't even need much treatment. For people with more severe rashes, particularly if it affects the face, we often will treat with antiviral therapy. She's probably beyond that window now, I'd imagine, from what she's saying there. The problem with shingles is it can cause what we call post-herpetic neuralgia, or PHN, which is a painful nerve pain after having had the rash. So the rash resolves, but you still have pain in the area where you had the shingles. Not everyone gets that, but some people can get that. And that's why we give the shingles vaccine now to try and prevent that. The main thing is, what is her symptoms now? Is that the rash is resolving? Maybe just a bit of moisturising cream on it. If she's still having a lot of pain after having had the rash, and also she references a lot of fatigue there. The fatigue, there's nothing sort of easy to do with that. It's just, you know, good diet, plenty of water, allowing yourself to recover like any kind of viral illness.
Is it contagious?
It depends a little bit on your vulnerability and where the rash is. So some people, when they have the rash, they will shed the virus. So if it's, say, on your face or an exposed area, if you're around pregnant people or someone who's immunocompromised, so say they're on cancer treatment or something like that, we tell them to be careful around being around those people. But generally, if you have a normal immune system and the rash is actually in a covered up area, we don't worry quite so much.
Now, this listener, Louise, says, I have a burning sensation in my nipple only when I remove my bra, and pain in my other breast, which goes under my arm. I am menopausal and on HRT patches. Any advice?
So HRT in itself can be associated with a lot of nipple sensitivity and sensitivity of the breasts, as is perimenopause and menopause. I'm always very cautious with the breast. If you whisper the word breast at me, I'm extremely cautious about it. So I would say just make sure you're doing a good checker yourself. If you find a lump, make sure you go to your GP. Pain, we don't get quite so worried about. If you look at the referral guidelines, often pain, they say, you know, wait and see if the pain really stays or, you know, may not need to be seen. But really, if someone says anything about breasts on the radio or over the phone to me, I'm like, maybe go get examined by a professional.
Yeah, exactly. Now, this listener says, I was diagnosed a number of years ago with bipolar 1. It's over 30 years ago. I was in the best of health, taking 400 milligrams at night of lithium, no other health issues. However, I decided to come off it thinking I'd be okay, but a year on, my moods have returned. On medical grounds, my medical team have decided that I should try a different antidepressant. 9 weeks on that, it seems to have stopped working on different days. I'm now thinking, should I go back to the previous lithium as it worked for so many years? Any advice?
How old are they, did they say?
They don't say, but they were diagnosed 30 years ago.
I mean, lithium is a great medication. It's extremely good at managing your mood. I suppose the disadvantage with it is you have to do blood tests quite frequently when you're on lithium. But I would say if something's worked before, obviously they're obviously linked in with the professional team already. They may be trying to give them a newer drug, something that doesn't have to be monitored with blood tests. But I will often go back to medications that worked before, even the older medications. So I think it's probably a matter of going back to that team and saying to them, look, this is where I'm at. What's the next step?
Okay. This listener is 62, male, and he says, behind my right nipple, it hurts. There's no redness or swelling, but any thoughts or advice on what it might be?
So, you know, pain again is probably quite a, you know, reassuring symptom that we don't tend to get quite so concerned about. But men can get breast cancer, and often men are, and women are surprised to hear that. So I'd say definitely examining himself to make sure there's definitely no lumps there. And again, with breasts in men, I'd say go into the GP and get a good breast examination done. I think it's the safest thing to do.
Listener 61, my overall cholesterol is 7.4. I weigh 8 stone, no other health issues. I'm wondering, should I be taking statins? Do you recommend? Or any kind of, is it a plant steroid? Have I that right?
Plantistanol, yeah. So basically, if you look at cholesterol, we'd like to break it down into your HDL, LDL and triglycerides, which are different types of fats and cholesterols. So a little bit more information would be helpful there. And they may not have that because I know a lot of GPs just tell them your total cholesterol. Obviously, the person is slim. So it's a bit disappointing from their point of view, I'm sure, that their cholesterol is raised. I would, as a GP, what I do is I calculate their cardiovascular risk score, so their Q-risk 3, and she could probably do that herself actually with the information she'd have. So Q-risk 3, if you Google it, and you can kind of put the information in yourself. And depending on if your score becomes above 5% or 10%, we sometimes start a statin medication. But if it's below 5%, which did she say how old she was?
61.
So she might be above the 5%, to be fair. Once you stray into your 60s as a female, you often do get that percentage going a little bit higher. But if it was below 5%, I wouldn't be starting a statin. I'd be looking at lifestyle management, and that includes plant stanols. So one of the first steps of the European Society of Cardiology guidelines is a plant stanol.
What is that?
A plant stanol is like a natural occurring enzyme that can lower the cholesterol. The one we tend to hear about is Benecol, but not exactly recommending Benecol as such. There's lots of varieties of them. There's generic versions. There's Tesco's, Aldi, Lidl, Super Value. They all have their own version of them. And basically, it's a drink or a yogurt. There is a spread as well, but it doesn't taste very nice, in my opinion. So I usually tell people to take a drink or a yogurt once a day, and that can lower your cholesterol by 10%. So it can contribute a little bit to it. And it's nice to know that you're not taking a medication. Yeah. It does only work when you're taking it. So that's a bit like a medication. But it works within 3 weeks of starting it. Okay. Equally, if you stop it, it'll stop working quite quickly.
087 1400 106. That's the WhatsApp number. If you have a question here for Dr. Louise Fitzgerald, this listener has constant clicking in their jaw. 31-year-old woman. If I don't click it, it feels really tight. Can this be fixed or what can I do? It's only really come on in the last 2 or 3 years.
Very common, probably something more the dentists deal with than we deal with. So it can be a variety of different conditions of the TMJ or temporomandibular joint. So I'd say for that person to go to their dentist would be the first stop, I would say, and just see they can look at the joint and just see what is causing it, and sometimes give them like a guard to wear at night time or something like that.
Okay. Why don't doctors prescribe for pain for viral tonsillitis? I understand antibiotics are useless in this scenario, but it's still extremely painful as bacterial tonsillitis, and my daughter was told to just try honey and lemon.
Yeah, that would probably not my approach to it. I'd probably say to take some Nurofen. So unfortunately, tonsillitis, it's an extremely inflammatory condition, really painful. had it myself. My daughter's had it, so I really feel for that listener. But Nurofen works really well. Worst case scenario, Diphene. And also sometimes giving steroids can work for it. So as a GP, I usually recommend over-the-counter Nurofen. Diphene is obviously on prescription. And then if someone came in to me, it's particularly severe, I would sometimes give steroids. Obviously, it's not like every time, but sometimes give some steroids as well.
Depending on how bad it is. But should she go back to the GP and look for it? No, she can just take any kind of pain relief then.
Yeah, I would try some Nurofen to start off. Like I'd always kind of do the ladder approach to start off with Nurofen. And if that wasn't working. And with Nurofen as well, it's the frequency with what you're taking it. So, you know, on the box, it'll say every 6 to 8 hours. So I would do it with the maximum 6 to 8 hours.
Now, what do I do with pre-patella bursa, inflammation of the kneecap? I have taken stuff for it. I've iced it, rested it, no improvement. What's the next treatment? Or should I go to the orthopaedic consultant?
That's a tricky one because it can be related to what you're doing as well. So if you're continuously leaning on that area or kneeling on that area, it can be causing problems. Icing is good. Topical anti-inflammatories can be good. So like Vimovo gel or anti-inflammatory gel. I really like Etaflam gel. It's on prescription. It depends on how long it's there. I would certainly look at like what you're doing, maybe with a physiotherapist, rather than, you know, jumping into the orthopedic route. Maybe topical anti-inflammatory, physiotherapy appointment, and then if things really aren't getting better, then looking at from the orthopedic point of view. But just seeing, can you do a little bit more with it?
When I lie down at night, the soles of my feet are extremely hot. Listeners looking for any advice on what that might be?
So I think that's actually come up on your program before. Yeah. I haven't listened back before. I mean, it depends on, you know, probably gender a little bit and age and things. But we do definitely see that in menopause. But maybe that's because I'm a menopause doctor, so I see menopause everywhere. But obviously it depends on the gender of the person. But it can be a variety of things. It can be, you know, vascular issue as well sometimes. So blood flow to the feet, or it could be, you know, a deficiency in a vitamin. So for that, I probably actually would be going to the GP and just getting an overhaul of bloods. And having a little more of a chat around it and examining the feet to see.
Okay. Now, this listener says, if you experience a weakness when laughing, what could that possibly be? My own GP has brushed it aside, but for me, it is actually quite serious.
So I presume that means when they're laughing, they feel generalized weaknesses and they feel fully weak in their body. You know, I think if it's the thing with symptoms is sometimes it is hard as a GP to figure out what's going on. And sometimes it is about letting time pass and observing, and your time is your greatest diagnostic tool. And it will often give you an idea if something's getting worse. Certainly that's when you start worrying about it. I would be worried if the person is maybe laughing and throwing their head back, because often if you throw your head back and there's a problem with the vascular supply, the blood supply in your neck, that can cause odd sensations. Mm. So what I would do is I think it's really useful. I tell people a lot of this at talks I do, is write down your symptoms, have them really in great detail, you know, write them down and say what's going on. Maybe look and see what happens exactly around that, and then go back to the GP and talk to them around it again. But sometimes, you know, I think we're brushing things off. I think sometimes we're just sort of looking to see what happens with things. So sometimes it is useful to go back to the GP again and say, look, this hasn't gone away, or it's got worse. And then we're more inclined to work on things then.
Okay. Louise Fitzgerald, GP at Grafton Medical. Louise, thanks a million for joining us here, for answering our listener questions this afternoon. Much appreciated. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. If we didn't get to your question or query, we will certainly do our best to do it next Monday afternoon. You can also listen back to our chats, conversations, podcasts are all up on the Newstalk or the Go Loud app. You can subscribe there to Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.